this place. But I got this morning, whenever I got up, I got to looking and I said, wonder when the last time I preached at West Acres was. Anybody know? My wife didn't. She did. She remembered the last time I was here and spoke, and that was in April of 2017. Y'all remember when that was? Y'all remember what happened then? Man Copeland's funeral. That was the last time I spoke here. But before that, it was February of 2014 when I preached here. Preached that morning in Judges and preached that night in Galatians. You say, how you know that? Because I keep a record of all that. Keep it all on my computer so I can look back and see those things. But anyway, it's good to be here with you today and to get to just reminisce and see our family. And because it literally did all start right here. I remember I was on a decorating committee in this church, and that was I swore then. I said, Lord, if you let me live through this one, I'll never join another one as far as the decorating committee. Man, you got critiqued big time whenever you was on the decorating committee, and also helped lay that tile right there that you see every time you walk in that door. Brother Gerald Colvin and I, on our hands and knees, putting tile down late at night. Blew all the insulation in the ceilings, put that rail up there. We did a lot of work in this building, a lot of work. God did a great work here in this area, and I'm so tickled to be a part of it and excited to be a part of it. Now God's moved us, and now I'm the Associational Missionary in White and Woodruff County for Calvary Baptist Association. I have 35 churches that I do missions work with, and just having a good time. Worst part about all of it is it's 2 hours away from our grandchildren. Notice I didn't say our children. I mean, I love my children, but I come to see my children whenever I come to see my grandchildren. So they're just kind of, that's you know how that goes. You know how that goes. Well, if you have your Bibles today, because I can sit up here and talk all day long, but I want to preach a little bit longer than that. If you turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 8, we're going to look at Mark chapter 8, the last part of it, and then we're going to look at Mark chapter 9. You have the pleasure of me putting two sermons together to make this one sermon. I've preached this sermon two different ways, but it just made sense to me for me to combine it and to cut out a few things and to add a couple of things. But I want to ask you one of the most important questions I believe has ever been asked. And Jesus, listen, Jesus is the author of the question. If you are asked the question spiritually and Jesus is not the author of it, then you don't need to really worry about the question. But he's still asking that same question today in us and for us, each and every one of us. And it's here in Mark chapter 8. I'm going to read verses 27 through 29. And he's going to ask two questions. And then the last one is that most important question. He says, now Jesus and his disciples went out to the tower, to the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and on the road he asked his disciples, saying to them, who do men say that I am? And then in verse 28 it says, so they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others one of the prophets. And he said to them, and this is the most important question that you can have in your mind today, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? When they respond to you and you ask them and they say all these things, who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said to him, you are the Christ. And if you look on past that in the book of Matthew, there's another account of it. And Jesus tells Peter, he said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not made that clear to you, but my Father who is in heaven. It goes on. Obviously, it's the right answer. And the question is, do we have the same mindset and lifestyle as the answer? And I want you to focus on that because that's what we're going to talk about mostly. He goes on in verse 31, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he spoke this word openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, and that's very interesting because he turned around to see the response on the faces of his disciples, I believe. And after that, he rebuked Peter and he said to him, "Get behind me, Satan. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." And that's deep. When you really began to think about this, as I began to think about this when I was penning this message, when you think about it on a personal level, what? This is the one thing that I thought about, and I hope that it causes you to think the same thing. What are the implications on my life with this statement? And then the other side of that is, what implications does my life have on others that meet me in this life? Who do people say that I am? But who do you say that I am? How do people perceive who he is in my life when they see me? That's basically what he's saying to them right here in this section. I need you to notice something here that often gets overlooked. He said in verse 34, when he, Jesus, had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whosoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." What part gets overlooked? It's the very first part. He said there when he called the people to himself with his disciples also. And well, you say, why is that important? Because oftentimes we get this idea that all he has for us individually is to get saved and someone else has the charge of carrying out the ministry. But that's not what he said. It says that whenever he called all the people to himself and his disciples also. Well, his disciples were charged with the responsibility of carrying the message of Christ across the country and starting the movement of Christ in the world. Is that not right? They started it all. But it was the people there that was also a part of carrying that out. Because when he asked them that question, he said, "Whoever will come after me," and then he posed those three things. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So all of us have a responsibility to be a part of what God's got going on in our local communities and around our world and in the presence of where we are right there. Listen, it takes the whole body that God has assembled at different locations to do the ministry God has for that area. Period. This church has existed for years. I don't know how many years. It's been a long time. But this church was planted here for the sole purpose of sharing the gospel message with a lost and dying world. And that mandate has never stopped. It's still there. That's still Christ's marching orders for us as a body of believers here at West Acres Baptist Church or wherever you find yourself. Got Marvel First Baptist represented, got Second Baptist West Helena represented, and got New Beginnings Community Church represented, and West Acres Baptist Church that's represented. All of us have a responsibility in our area to be Jesus to the least of these. All of us. Who do people say that I am? All of us, not just the preachers and the deacons and the ministry staff, but all of us who desire an obedient life are responsible to deny oneself, take up that cross, and follow him. Whatever he has for us to do. So what should we do? Well, let me get into this message. And my wife says, that's the reason it takes you so long. You got a long introduction. But that's okay. The first thing that we need to do, if you turn over to Mark chapter 9, the very first thing we need to do to be able to do to accomplish the task that the Lord has for us is, number one, we need to listen. We need to listen. I woke up early this morning several times, and I woke up early this morning, and I remember laying there in the bed. It was about 2:30 or so, and I remember laying there in the bed, and I'm like, man, I I want to go sleep, but I can't sleep. So I started talking to the Lord, which I often do early in the morning when I can't sleep. I'll talk to Him, and I said, Lord, teach me to listen. I ain't even thought about the message. But as I told Him, I said, you know, all through Scripture, you talk about how you spoke and they heard. You spoke and they obeyed. You spoke and they followed. Lord, teach me to listen like that. Help me to listen like that. And we need to understand that. In verse 2 of chapter 9, it shows Jesus 6 days after this we just looked at in Mark chapter 8. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and He went up the side of the mountain and He was transfigured before them. And I'm not going to read all of that, but it's very interesting. You go back and you read it and you wonder how in the world did Peter, James, and John recognize Elijah and Moses when they were talking to Jesus, because they'd never seen Him before. But obviously it was evident that that was who it was. And it also says that they were terrified. I would have been scared too. Last time I seen a ghost and I hadn't seen one. Last time I thought I seen a ghost, I was scared out of my wits. I don't believe in ghosts, but I also do believe that according to the Word of God, that there are spirits that are all around us, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. He didn't say a principality, He said principalities. That means plural. There's a bunch of them out there, and I don't know all of that stuff, but I've got a lot of other stuff going on in my head without trying to figure all that out. But the reality of it is that they were scared to death. They were terrified, it says. And a cloud overshadowed them. And this is what I want you to hear in verse 7. A cloud overshadowed them and a voice came out of the cloud. And this is what the voice said. This is My beloved Son. Listen to Him. Listen to Him. And I thought, man, how interesting that is, and how obvious that is that we need to do that. And I can't even begin to imagine what was going on through Peter and James and John's mind. Why us? How come us three? Why did He choose us? What are we to do? I don't know what to do. I'm terrified. Do I build a shrine? Do I bow down? Do I run? I don't know what to do. And I'm sure that's what was going through their mind. I don't know what these three thought, but I got my thoughts. But we've got to go back to what Jesus asked and said to them in chapter 8. Who do men say that I am? And then He says, but who do you say that I am? Then He said, whoever desires to come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. I think what He's doing here, and I believe, according to what I'm reading, that He's telling us that our walk needs to match our talk. It needs to be who you are. They need to see who you are. God the Father makes a profound statement to these three. He tells them to listen to Jesus. Why? Because He is and has the words of life. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. And if we believe all that, then guess what? He should be our Commander-in-Chief and Lord. But He says, but who do you say that I am? Or you could phrase it like this, but who do you know Me to be? Who are you representing? You or Me? But listen now, if He is Christ, if we recognize Him as Lord, we need to let Him be Lord. We not only need to listen, but we must act on what we hear from the Lord. When our walk gets tough and the spiritual suffering of our faith gets tough, when we get overwhelmed and slack in our service, we need to do what our Heavenly Father has commanded us to do, and that is, this is My beloved Son, listen to Him. Now the question that I have is, who are you listening to? And who are you believing? Your ability? Those that are around you are Him. I can go ahead and tell you right now, I've been to many of places. Praise the Lord, He's led me to a lot of different places and gave us a great ministry over these last 30-something years. But the reality of it is that there's been many a times when I didn't want to go. I didn't want to go. But there was no choice because God said go. We need to be listening to Him even when it doesn't make any sense. Secondly, we're going to skip over to verse 17 of Mark chapter 9. Jesus asked, why are you speaking to them? If you go back and you look through 8 through 16 and it talks about them coming down the mountain. But it says in verse 17, someone from the crowd answered him, teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And he goes through this little ditty here about what this spirit does to him. It makes him foam at the mouth, and then he gets rigid, and it casts him out. And he said, I asked your disciples, I came here for you, but you weren't here, so I asked your disciples to cast him out, and they weren't able to. And this is what Jesus said to him. God had already told him up on the mountain, Peter, James, and John, this is my beloved son, listen to him. He also asked them prior to that, who does the world say that I am? And they said, John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say a prophet. But who do you say that I am? Who do you know me to be? And they knew him to be the Messiah. They knew him to be the Lord. They knew him to be the one that was to come and to set them free. Now their mindset was they were going to be free from the Roman Empire and the oppression that they had. He was going to lead this vast army to free them from all that, and they could live their life the way they wanted to, and they was just going to have a commander in chief that took care of all their problems. Well, that's not the way Jesus came. He came to free them from their sin, which is what got them in the place where they were in the first place. But anyway, he goes on and he says this. He says, oh, faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? And then he said, bring him to me. And they brought him to him. And as soon as the spirit that was in the boy saw Jesus, it recognized Jesus right off the bat. And he fell to the ground, it convulsed him, and he fell to the ground, and he began to foam at the mouth and do all the things that he did. But this is the most interesting part, and this is the part that we need to understand. The second thing that we need to do in order to be used by Jesus, in order to be used for the commission that God's given us, is that we need to believe. We need to believe. That person that we're talking to, we need to believe that they can be saved. We need to believe that they need to be saved. Not only that, we need to believe that Jesus is who He says He is, and He will do what He says He'll do. And if He does that, and we do that, then I promise you, He's going to do everything that He needs to do if we'll just follow what He says. So we need to believe. And in verse 22 it says, and it has often cast him into the fire. This is the Father talking to him to destroy him. And then he says this. It's like he's posing a question to the Lord, which this man hadn't been around the Lord as much as the disciples had. But this is what he said. He said, this is the man. He said, but if you can do anything, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now, he had heard that Jesus could heal him, or he wouldn't have been there. He had heard that Jesus was a compassionate prophet. He had heard that Jesus was a priest. He had heard that he was possibly the Messiah. If he hadn't heard all that stuff, he never would have brought his son. How do you know he was coming looking for Jesus? Because he said he was. He said, I came to find you, and you weren't here, so I asked your disciples to do what I asked you, was coming to ask you to do, and they couldn't do it. But if you can, if you can do anything, listen, is there anything impossible for Jesus to do? That's a rhetorical question. Is there anything impossible for Jesus to do? No, that's exactly right. Nothing. And then this man said, but if you can do anything. Now, why did he do that? And then we'll get that to the third point. But it is a reason why he asked that question the way it was. And then he says, have compassion on us and help us. And then Jesus said to him this, and you can look at it one of two ways, or you can look at it both ways like I do. If you can, he said, next three words, if you can, this is Jesus repeating back to him, if you can. And then he says, all things are possible for one who believes. All things are possible for one who what? Believes. Believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said this, I believe. I want you to help my unbelief. And we say we're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you something. There's something that runs along with that. It's called unbelief. Unbelief. Sometimes we think that things are just a little bit too unbelievable for Jesus to take care of. If that's the case, that I was not savable, but He saved me. If that's the case, I wouldn't be worthy to stand before you today and to preach your word. And I'm not because of my own ability, but I am because He's called me to be Lord. I mean, to be a pastor. He is the Lord. Again, what a word. Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration and He talked to Peter, James, and John, and he was opening their eyes spiritually there. And the other disciples were down there doing ministry. Why is it important for us to know that? We have to go back to what He said in verse 34 of Mark chapter 8. When He had called the people to Himself with His disciples also, He said to them, "Whosoever desires to come after Me." There's got to be a desire to follow Him, to pursue Him, to come after Him. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. And even though we have a choice and we can choose not to do this, this is not posed as a choice. You can pick and choose what you want to do. It is stated from Him as a command. If you desire to come after Me, if you desire for Me to be Lord of your life, there's three things that you got to do, and I'm going to name them for you. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Me. Those are all three different, unique things that we need to do in order to be who God has created us to be. It's not always easy. It's not always comfortable. It's not always the first thing we would pick. But it is a command. He says you gotta deny yourself. You've gotta take up your cross. And you've got to follow Me if you're going to come after Me. You got to do those things. And you can't miss it. Jesus is the one who calls us. He does not make mistakes. If you're a born-again believer today, it was not an accident. You are not saved until He saves you. You don't have to worry about that. You can't try it on, see if it fits for you. And if it doesn't, take it off and wear it somewhere, or wear something else around. And then later on in life, decide you want to be a believer. That ain't the way it works. It's not the way it works. We need to believe. We need to listen to the Word. We are the child of the Most High God, and we are adopted by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I remember getting wet at Helena First Baptist Church when I was 11 years old. I remember walking the aisle at Lexa Baptist Church whenever I was 11 years old. I remember all that. But listen, after that, I didn't remember much of it. Because I acted like a heathen, lived like a heathen, lived like an infidel. And then whenever God was ready, or He probably was ready all the time, when Joe was finally listening and believing, God saved me. Right here, in this church, in this spot, not in this building, it was a tent revival, but He saved me right here. And set me on a journey that I just cannot believe that He allows me to be a part of. Following Jesus in this fallen world takes effort, it takes work, it takes obedience, and it takes being available and usable in His service and by His Word. This is My beloved Son. Listen to Him. And thirdly and lastly, if we're going to do what God wants us to do, we can't let doubt win. We can't let doubt win. Do not think for a moment that you are immune to doubt when times get hard. But we should never let doubt turn to unbelief. It says in verse 17, let me read that to you one more time. And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you. For he has a spirit that makes him mute." Can you hear the desperation in his voice, in that statement? And it says in verse 18, and whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. "So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." Now listen to me. You want to know why I believe they were not able because they doubted. You see, this was the first time that they were faced with the obstacle of doing something without Jesus being in their presence. And they couldn't do it. Why? Because they doubted. They doubted. Jesus was not there. Now, he was there, but they didn't know he was there. He was on the mountain. So they thought, we can't do this without him. And that's the reason he said, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And what he's saying is, have you not listened for the last 3 years and you not seen what I've done over the last 3 years, all the miracles, all the things that have happened? And then just because I'm not here, I'm up on top of the mountain, you think you can't do that? "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." You see, Jesus is still Lord when doubt and lack, and when we doubt and when we lack faith. The difference is we can't let that take over. When Jesus asked a man about his son, it was not because he was unaware. Jesus knows everything. He knew why he was there. He knew that man was going to be there. But he asked him that because the man had doubt. How do you know he had doubt? The question that he posed, "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." The disciples failed and doubt entered. We will fail and doubt will enter, but that will, what will our response to doubt be? That's the question. We're going to doubt. But what is our response going to be? Because we're going to fail. Jesus' reply, he said, If you can, it's almost like Jesus was asking him a question that was kind of a pointed question. If you can, you came here because you had faith that I could do it. And then as soon as they couldn't do it, then all of a sudden you're doubting now. And now all of a sudden, if I can do it, have compassion on us. Isn't that just like we do it? Jesus, we're going to pray. I'm going to give this to you. But I'm going to pick it back up, take it back with me. Whenever I leave it at the altar, I'm not really going to leave it at the altar. I'm going to take it with me and I'm going to dwell on it. Because I'm going to wonder if it's ever going to get fixed. I'm going to wonder if it's ever going to be a miracle in my life. I'm going to wonder if that person's going to be healed that I love so much. I'm going to wonder. You know what that wondering is? You know what that but is? It's doubt. It's doubt. Man, when we tell the Lord, "Listen, God, listen to me. I'm asking you, I'm begging you." And then we turn right around and say, "Listen, God, I'm asking you and I'm begging you. Listen, God, I'm asking you and I'm begging you." Yes, he wants us to bring it before him, but he also wants us to believe and have faith that he can do what he says he'll do. It may not look like we want it to look like. Charles said earlier, the last time I spoke here, when I asked what was the last time I was here, he said, "Man, Copeland's funeral," and it was. Little did I realize 4 years later that two most influential men in my life, I'd do both of their funerals. Because just 4 short years later, I did Mike Fowler's funeral. Mike Fowler was the pastor that was here whenever I was saved, Pam saved. Our family began to come here. 4 years between them, did both of their funerals. We used to always make a joke. I told it whenever I did the funeral. I told them when we'd sit around, whoever dies first gets to tell all the truth. I mean, whoever dies last gets to tell all the truth. And I told them, I said, "You suckers better not die. Y'all better not die before me, because I'm gonna tell everybody the truth on you." And boy, we'd have a good time when we talked about it. That was a joke. Little did I know I was going to be faced with that reality. Two of my best friends in the whole wide world. But you know where them two best friends are now? Probably wreaking havoc in heaven, if there's such a thing. But I have no doubt that they are with the Lord. No doubt. If you can, and don't miss this. It is the one ingredient that is absolutely the must-have for faith. All things are possible for one who believes. And Jesus said that. God our Father said, this is my beloved Son, listen to Him. And if we listen to Him, and then Jesus turns around, the one we're supposed to listen to, and says, all things are possible for one who believes, should we doubt? No, we should not doubt. Do we doubt? Yes. But we shouldn't. This is crucial. The engaging part. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe. You just got to help my unbelief. There's a lot of people out there that you talk to on a daily basis that tell you they believe in God. But there's an unbelief when it comes to giving their life to Jesus. We need to listen to Him. All of us will doubt. All of us that believe have times like this. We just need to be transformed so they do not win. You say, well, how do we do that? Jesus told John, when you doubt and you let doubt win, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 6, you become ashamed and offended by me. And Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verse 38, whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Folks, the only thing that I know to tell you is this. When things look grim, smile. When things are not going well, give God the glory. Whenever you feel like your wagon is loaded and you can't put another rock on it, praise God for the opportunity. Because I can promise you, He will take care of it because He said He would. It's not going to look like you want it to look. It's not. I've had some things happen to me since I was saved here and since I left here and in the last 11 years that I've been gone from here. I didn't like. Still don't like them. But you know what? I'm still serving the Lord. Still doing what God's called me to do. And I'm still listening. And I still believe the book. I believe what the Bible says. When God the Father looked at them three disciples on that Mount of Transfiguration and said, this is my beloved Son. Listen to me. And my prayer for you today is that you are listening to Him. That you're believing Him. And that you're not letting doubt win. Amen? Let's stand. We're going to have a word of prayer. And after that prayer, we're going to have a hymn of invitation. And that invitation is respond however the Lord would have you to respond. Father, we love You and praise You and thank You, God, for who You are. We thank You for the opportunity You've afforded us today to be able to look into Your Word. And I just pray, Father, that as we've looked into Your Word, Lord, that You've spoken to our hearts. And God, I just pray now that You give us the mercy and the grace and the courage to be obedient to what You tell us to do. I remember way back then, before I ever surrendered into ministry, Father, I ran. And I remember sitting on that pew. Thank You for bringing it back to my mind this morning. I remember sitting there, and I remember Brother Clyde saying, no, Brother Joe, I want even you if the Lord's calling you to do something. God, it's no plainer than that. And sometimes even the plainest things that You're showing us, Lord, they look impossible and doubt enters. God, help us not to doubt, but help us to be obedient. Speak to our hearts now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.